Okay, I'm starting a new topic this week, and it's called God Will Provide. Okay? So I want to start and share with something that happened to me two or three weeks ago now, and it was just so wow for me. So I want to share it and hope it'll be wow for you as well. And what happened was, one morning I was just out walking, and I just walk down from our house, and then I've got to go up a hill, then I walk along the top of this hill, down the other side, and I do a little circle around this field. So I'm out walking, and I'm at the top of the hill, but I'm always looking down, because there's tree roots, there's rabbit holes, the dogs have been there before you, so you know what I'm looking for. So I'm making sure I don't stand in anything, and making sure I don't trip. And I just felt on the inside, look up. Okay, so I looked up, and I've got this little break between trees and buildings where I can see right as far into the distance as you can see. So I looked up at the right moment to see as far into the distance as I could see. And as much as I can, I submit this to you, I heard a voice in my inside speaking to me, and I felt it was God. I felt God speak to me on the inside, and he said this to me: there's something in the distance, and it's heading towards you. There's something in the distance, and it's heading towards you. You know, and something jumped on the inside of me, so I'm not sure what's heading towards me, but I know it's good. I know God's got a good thing for me, and it's heading towards me. You know, and I think it's good things for this church. I think it's growth in this church. You know, we've just had revival this morning with all the visitors, okay? So there's something good heading towards me. And I don't know what it is, but I know that God is my good, good Father. And so it will be a good thing. And it will be a heart's desire that's heading towards me. Now, every single person in this room has a heart's desire. And God is able to bring it to us. He already knows what we need. And it's heading towards us in the spirit realm. Sometimes we can't see it physically, but we have to believe it's heading towards us. I want us to know that we need to take our eyes off the circumstances sometimes and look up to see what God's got for us. If I spend the whole of my walk just looking down, all I'm going to see is something that a dog's done, you know, or rabbit droppings or something like that. But if I look up, I'm going to see what God's got for me. And so I want to encourage you today to stop looking at the circumstances you have now and believe for what God's got for us in the future. We need to take our eyes off the negatives and look up. I want to share something that happened probably about more than 30 years ago to me. I had a big decision to make, and there was two choices that I could see at that time, either A or B. I'm not going to go into details, but I kept going to God and saying, God, is it A, is it B? Is it A, is it B? This went on for several years. This wasn't just a fortnight decision. This was a big decision. And I kept saying to God, God, is it A, is it B? I had no idea at that time that C was coming towards me in the spirit realm. There was a different option altogether, and that option was C, and I did not know it at the time. I didn't know it for about 3 years. And finally, this third option appeared on the horizon. It had been heading towards me all the time, but I didn't have a clue. So sometimes the answer's not A or B. Sometimes it's C, none of the above. Sometimes it's something that God's got for us and it's heading towards us. And the good thing is, I didn't need to do anything about that except keep walking and keep looking up. Keep looking to God. That's all I had to do. That's all I have to do for this next thing coming towards me. I don't need to run out, change my hair color, you know, do anything amazing. I just need to trust God. And I just need to keep walking on the path that he's told me to walk on. The answer to your prayer is heading towards you right now. So keep walking, keep trusting, and keep looking up to God. Because the answer is on its way. There's a song we used to sing years ago, and it said, don't give up. You're on the brink of a miracle. You know what would happen if we gave up the day before the answer to our prayer came? I want to take a wee look at Abraham today. God had told Abraham that his descendants, all the wee kids and grandkids that he would have, would be as numerous as the stars. But the problem was, Abraham hadn't seen it yet. And so really what God was saying to Abraham when he said, your descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars, he was saying to Abraham, to see the promise, Abraham, you have to look up. You have to look up at the heavens. You have to look up at the stars, not at the circumstances, not at the mess we're in or the mess we've made in the past, but look up and see what God's done. And then finally, after waiting for 25 years, his son Isaac, the promised son, was born to him. Now, Abraham was 100 when this happened, and he finally received the promise. I want to pick the story up further along when Abraham is actually 120. They had good health care in those days. NHS was spot on. Abraham was 120, and Isaac was approximately 20. I researched into that, and there's all sorts of scriptures I could give you, but a rough guess for Isaac was he was round about 20, and Abraham's 120. And God asks Abraham to sacrifice his son, to lay him on the altar. This was the boy he'd waited 25 years for. This was the thing he thought was going to fulfill all his dreams and all his promises, and God was saying, I want you to give him up for me. And so Abraham wants to follow God, and he takes Isaac on a wee walk, and we're going to pick the story up a few verses in Genesis 22 and starting at verse 7. Isaac said, see, here are the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt sacrifice? And Abraham said, my son, God himself will provide a lamb for the burnt offering. So the two went on together. And when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there. And then he laid the wood in order, and he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took hold of the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He answered, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear and revere God, since you have not held back from me your son, your only son. Then Abraham looked up, and behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. And it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it will be provided. So it was not Isaac's best day, okay? His dad tied him up, laid him on an altar, and had a knife poised in his hand. Isaac had had better days. I'm sure Abraham had too. So I want us to picture the scene. Abraham's climbing a mountain with his beloved son. He's got the knife. He's got the wood for the offering. They've got the altar already. And it's a challenge to believe that God will provide. Everything looks as if it's going in the opposite direction. That's a huge challenge for Abraham to keep walking in that direction, believing that God will provide. So here's my first question for us today. What mountain are we climbing? And what challenge are we facing? And is it a challenge just to keep going from Monday to Friday every week? And are we believing that God will provide for our needs? This is an incredible story of faith. Abraham was trusting God to provide. Verse 14 in that scripture, Abraham called the place, the Lord will provide. It's two Hebrew words, Jehovah Jireh. And Jehovah Jireh is a Hebrew name for God, and it means the Lord, our provider. So here's another question. What do we need God to provide? And do we really think he will, or do we have doubts? Are we doubting that God will provide that thing? Was Abraham tempted to doubt? Well, he's only human. I think he would have had the same doubts that we would have had in that situation. Will God do it? Will he really provide? He'd have had the same doubts as any of us. In any situation you're in where you're doubting God, that's okay. But just recognize when we're doubting God. Recognize when we're in unbelief and we're not walking in faith. And throw the unbelief out and get back into faith. You know, Abraham may have thought all of these things in his head. Will God do this? Will God help me? Will he provide something else to sacrifice? But thinking it and saying it are two different things. You can't help it coming into our head, but we need to stop the negative words coming out of our mouth. Here is what Abraham said. In verse 8, he said, God himself will provide. That's what he said. I want us to note that the battle is won or lost right here. Right here with this one phrase. The Lord himself will provide. What are we saying on a Monday morning when we're going into a job that we hate and we've been praying for 6 months for a new job? Are we saying, oh no, here we go again, this is going to be a rubbish week? Or are we going, the Lord will provide? I've not seen the new job yet, but thank you, Father God, the new job is coming. Isn't that right, Jackie? The new job is coming and Jackie's got it. Yeah, after needing that new job. And so the Lord will provide. The battle is won or lost in our mind and in our mouth. What thoughts are we entertaining and what are we speaking over our lives? Abraham didn't let a negative word pass his lips. So what is passing our lips? What are we saying about ourselves and about our lives? Will God provide or God won't do that for me? Are we repeating the negatives or are we believing what the scripture says about him? What we say makes a difference. Words make a difference. Words can lead us in only one of two directions. They either lead us to victory or they lead us down the road that only ends in defeat. Which way are our words leading us? When we get up tomorrow morning and whatever it is we've got to face on a Monday, we need to ask ourselves, which way are our words leading us? Sometimes it's even before we open our eyes in the morning. What way are our thoughts leading us before we even get out of bed? Note this, that Abraham believed that God would provide before he saw the answer. He just kept walking in it. God's not let me down yet. He's not going to let me down now. I'm going to keep trusting him. I'm going to keep walking. He believed God had already provided his needs in the spirit. It was on the horizon and it was coming towards him from the distance. That is walking by faith. See, we say, if I see it, I'll believe it. But faith says, if you believe it, then you'll see it. That is the bottom line. We need to believe it. We need to think it. We need to speak it. This is a story of a father sacrificing his beloved son. Anybody think of anything that sounds familiar to? God the Father sacrificed his beloved son, Jesus. Isaac was a type of Jesus. He was a demonstration thousands of years before in the Old Testament. God was showing his people through Abraham, this is what I'm going to do for you in the future. Abraham actually didn't have to sacrifice Isaac. He just needed to be willing. But God was more than willing, and he did sacrifice his son for us. Through Abraham, God was showing his people what he would do for him, what he would do for them years to come. Notice this, that Isaac was a willing sacrifice. He was 20, and Abraham was 120. I think Isaac could have taken Abraham, you know? Even though he tied him up, put him on the altar, I think he could have taken his father. I think he could have run a mile. You know, he could have done that. But at no point did it say Isaac tried to run away. At no point did he even question his father. He didn't even say, hey, what are you doing, Dad? Don't like the look of that rope. Where's that going to go? You know, he didn't fight. He was willing. And Jesus was a willing sacrifice. Because of the love of God for us, Jesus said, I'll do that for you, Father. I'll do that for your children because you love them. Matthew 26 and verse 53 says Jesus could have called upon 12 legions of angels. Now, research that, and that's roughly 80,000 angels. If you'll take my word for it, though I can't go into all the details now, but 12 legions is roughly 80,000 angels because there are 6,000 Roman soldiers in a legion, and there was 12 legions of them. But Jesus didn't call for help either. He was willing to provide the sacrifice. Why? Why did he provide that sacrifice? So God could provide for us every need we will ever have. Healing, forgiveness, acceptance, deliverance, every need we'll ever have was provided by the sacrifice of Jesus. It's already provided. We need a revelation of what God's already done for us. What Jesus already paid for. We need to stop begging God for provision of what's already heading towards us. It's on the horizon and it's heading towards us. We could stop now and go around the room and say, what is the deepest desire of your heart right now? What is the prayer in your heart right now? Well, let's just start believing it's heading towards you. The answer's heading towards us in the spirit realm. And we need to start thanking God for it and stop begging him for. Sometimes we pray the same prayer for years and years and years. You know, I was praying for 3-4 years. Is it A? Is it B? Is it A? Is it B? God must have been fed up hearing it. So Sandra, open your mind and think of new possibilities at C. You know? But I'm still working it out for you. I should have been praying, thank you, Father God, you've got the answer. It might not be A or B, but you've got the answer for me. We're not hungry and homeless. We don't need to beg God. You know, we can put away the sign in the bowl, hungry and homeless. We're children of the King. The King is rich. The King's got all the answers. We just need to believe for them. We just start thanking God for all that he's already provided and do it in faith. In that scripture, verse 14 says, on the mount of the Lord it will be provided. What mountain is it talking about? It's not talking about a physical mountain. It's talking about a spiritual mountain of God's presence. In God's presence, all these things will be provided. We're meant to live on a spiritual mountain with God, walking and talking with him on a daily basis, no matter where it is, in the car, on the bus, on the train, we can still be on the mountain of God. You might say, well, Sandra, how do I know if I'm living on the mountain of God? Well, are you talking to God? Are you talking to God in the shower? Are you talking to God when you travel to work? Are you talking to God when you walk up and down the stairs at work? Wherever it is we are, in any situation, are we reading his word? Are we thanking him for what he's already done? However briefly, you know, 5-10 minutes a day, thank you, Father God, for doing this for me. Then you're on his mountain. You're on his mountain if you're living and breathing and talking to him. And if we haven't done that, then maybe we're the ones that have moved. Because the Bible tells me God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he lives on that mountain all the time. We're the ones that go wandering and don't spend time with him. If we can't get a sense of his presence, we are the ones that are moved. But I've got good news. The good news is it's easy to turn around and get straight back on that mountain. It's one prayer away. Thank you, Father God, that you've been with me this week. Even though I've not had a really good quiet time, even though I've not spoken to you, you've been here, you've not moved. I'm just coming back into your presence. You can do that in a split second. Get back on that mountain, because on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Not wandering around in the wilderness going, is it A, is it B, is it A, is it B? But focusing on him. So here's another question. What mountain are we living on? Is it God's mountain, full of peace and love and the answers to prayer? Or a mountain full of fear and anxiety, depression, hurt and pain? Because if that's the mountain we're on, can I just say, get off. You're on the wrong mountain. I've got a prophetic word for us today, and it's this. Moving day is here. Moving day is here. You need to change. We need to change where our emotions are living. Because if we're just going round and round with our emotions, then we're on the wrong mountain. We need to move off that. And I had a vision when I was preparing this. I saw someone packing a suitcase. I don't mean you've got to get on a train and leave town, you know, but they're packing a suitcase to change mountains, to get off that mountain of, I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't know where God is and all of this, and he's not going to answer my prayer anyway, and get back on the mountain of thanking him for what he's done and for the fact that he has got the answers to all of our needs. It said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Not on the mountain of self-pity or fear or rejection or unforgiveness. All that's available on those mountains is more self-pity, more fear, more unforgiveness. So we get off that emotional mountain and start to thank God for the good things that are already in our lives. Everything we'll ever need has already been provided by God. Our God is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And we need to start believing it. Because when we start to believe it, then we'll start to see it. Abraham and Isaac climbed a mountain and God provided their needs. Jesus climbed a mountain too, and he did it for us. It was called Golgotha. Here's one little scripture, John 19, verse 16 and 17. Then he delivered him over to them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. So he went out bearing his own cross to the spot called the place of the skull. In Hebrew, it is called Golgotha. What a mountain to have to climb. What an Everest. Maybe not so much a physical mountain, but it was a spiritual mountain. It was the largest mountain ever climbed by man, and it was the greatest provision ever made for mankind. It was a giant leap from darkness to light, from lost to found, from sinner to son and daughter. We went from eternal death to eternal life when Jesus climbed this mountain for us. He did it for us. a mountain of sin and sickness and death, and Jesus provided the answer for it all. Remember what it said in Genesis 22, verse 28. God himself will provide a lamb. God himself provided the answer for Abraham, but he provided it for us too. God himself climbed a mountain and paid the price with his own blood, the Lamb of God. For all of us, we don't need to stay on those old mountains and those old emotions any longer. We can turn to God and enter into a new peace that maybe some of us have never known before. The provision God made with his blood is still available today. It's still providing for his children. It's still pouring out on our mountain, meeting our every need. It is a miracle of provision, and it's at our fingertips. It's almost like I have a vision right now of water in front of us, like a lake. And it's up to us whether we stick our big toe in or not, or we go into the ankles, or we go into the knees, or we just start swimming. And let the peace of God just flow over us. God has made the provision. We need to make the decision to get into it. We are the ones that need to decide to jump into the things of God and believe what he's saying to us. And here's a final prophetic word. Don't be overwhelmed by your mountain. Be overwhelmed by God's provision, by everything he's done for us. Never forget the provision of the cross. God's already provided your need. Abraham put his son on the altar, and God put his son on the altar too. Why? Why? Here's my last scripture in a different translation to how you normally might read it, and it says this, John 3:16. God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he gave his only begotten son. We're greatly loved. You're dearly prized by God, who meets us on the mountain and provides. Stop believing you're rubbish. Stop believing you're useless. Stop believing you're the biggest sinner that ever crawled out of your house in the morning, and start believing that God has provided forgiveness and love. Don't think he's forgotten you, not for one second. With every breath we take in and with every breath we give out, it is provided by God. Every care, every concern, every need is already provided for. He is Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. And we need to look up, because the answer to your needs is heading towards you. We're just going to finish with one final song of worship,